Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey there, and welcome back to Thundercast, ThunderTech's regular podcast. As always, I'm your co-host, Craig Israel, along with Eric Krylo.
Hey, I'm here.
So, Eric, this is a one in a series of special podcasts we're doing around our annual Trends book. You may remember we did this last year, too. So we release our Trends publication that outlines a handful of trends that we've been watching for the past year or 6 months or so that we think could be useful to our customers and the marketing world in general. So we break down each of those topics into their own podcast. So this particular podcast is going to be about customer experience, also known as CX. And as a subject matter expert, we have a very special guest in the studio with us, Jason Therrien.
Howdy.
President and founder of ThunderTech and customer experience expert.
Thank you. That's quite a compliment, Craig.
So let's jump into the topic. This is, again, one of the articles that you can find in our trends book. So customer experience, as I understand it, Jason, is just trying to make sure that the customer is satisfied at every touch point in the journey. So the first question is, you know, businesses have been caring about customer service for decades, for as long as there's been customers. How is this a new idea?
Right. The good ones have. Yeah, I totally agree with you. This is not a shocking revelation, but there are a lot of things happening underneath this concept of a customer experience that is really moving this idea of CX as a discipline or as a practice area to the forefront.
So, you know, you mentioned it coming to the forefront. Obviously, this is something that we've known about for a while in terms of a lot of brands doing this. And, you know, to your point, Jason, the good brands that do it well. But why is this becoming more at the forefront now? Why is this becoming something that folks are not only practicing, but talking about more?
Right. The certainly the competitive landscape, every business is seeing more and more competition. And a lot of industries are seeing much more disruption than they're used to seeing. You know, everyone talks about the Ubers of the world and that, where they're looking at the same types of business problems, but with new technology or a different way of adapting their business model to serve that problem. So that's one of the ways that I think is speeding up, that you have to create better experiences to adapt to these changes. The back end of it is really all about the data, the analytics, the ability to track a journey that a customer may have. Because years ago, even 5 years ago, you really didn't have as clear of a path as you have today, where a customer walks in a store, does a certain action, prints out a coupon, takes it to the register, leaves, goes home, interacts with your website, opens an email, returns to store. Those were all fairly distinct actions that weren't usually tied together very well up until recently. So for businesses today, its ability to, I think, slice away and peer into that customer journey at all touch points and be able to tie these things together and understand, are they truly, to Craig's point, delivering it as well as they think they are?
So that's something that I found really interesting about the topic of CX is that the customers, Jason, you talked about how there are distinct points and there are also distinct, you know, touch points within the journey. And customers may be satisfied with various points in the journey or maybe all of the points, but still be dissatisfied with the brand, with the experience as a whole. You know, and that might be because they're disjointed or not connected. And it speaks to something that we've talked about for a long time, is that you need to break down the silos in your business to make sure that you're not just taking the customer and tossing them over the wall, but actually making sure there's some consistency across all points in the journey.
Right. I think that's well said. A lot of this has to do with that siloed nature, where, again, each silo could be a good experience of its own, but maybe the handoff was rough. Or maybe 3 out of 4 silos were good, but one was terrible. But it was so far removed from the rest of the organization that nobody thought about it or even knew how bad it was until, again, now, where you can collect more data on the experience and really understand where you're dropping the ball. one of my favorite examples, Craig, and you and I have talked about this, and it's a large organization. It's a Fortune level organization in the financial field, but they appointed a chief experience officer, right? So that's how important they put it at the C level to make sure that the customer experience was what they were promising. And one of the things that this person found very quickly into their tenure was that they had over 1,000 1-800 numbers. I mean, that's insane, right? Even for a big company to have accumulated over 1,000 toll-free numbers over time. And as they dug deeper, they found that over a quarter of them used different on-hold messages. So you talk about, you know, just a disjointed experience. You know, those things can just pile up, especially in a bigger organization, faster, at a faster rate, even though they may have the resources to think about the experience. These things just happen. And again, if there's not somebody overseeing that whole journey, it can become disjointed very quickly.
I think that's what I got the most out of reading this article, is it's not just about, you know, the customer's experience with that one purchase. So I think that's how what we think of it in the past has been like, oh, you know, you want to promote a product, person buys the product, has an issue, they called us, we serviced them, everything's good, we're great. But this is more or less looking at that from a whole. So making sure that initial experience goes well, and then taking what you learn from that as an organization, what you learn from your user or your customer or, you know, whatever you want to call them, and sort of start to either deliver them content that makes sense to them or put them in a better position for their next experience or their next order or product.
Definitely.
You know, I want to touch on that. Go back quick to the 800 numbers thing, because people listening to this might think that that's preposterous, that any business could have 1,800 numbers. But if you figure it's a company of any sort of size, if you were to have a new 800 number for each promotion or each region or each product even, that quickly it could spin out of control. And that speaks to your point, Jason, that if there's no person at the top of the heap kind of coordinating all of these touch points, that as soon as that promotion is over, that 800 number is abandoned, but it still exists in the phone system. It's still out there on a website somewhere.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. I think that's where, you know, that ability to have governance over the experience, to not just improve it and affect the overall experience, but also to gather data to understand how well you're doing. You know, so it's not just that division or that person that was in charge of the promotion measuring how effective that campaign was that the 800 number led to. It's also working within a set of rules that adhere to your brand.
So going back to the trends article, the article outlines three key factors in the reason, in part of the reason that CX has become such a critical initiative in recent years. And these are things that have led to customers having more choices, you know, being quicker to defect to different brands. And first is information. And as the article outlines it, that today's customers are better informed than any other point in time. And I don't think this is any big surprise to anyone with internet and social and Yelp and any sort of countless outlets like that where people can talk about their experiences, get that information out there that, you know, of course, today's customers have more information at their fingertips than ever before.
Yeah, and that I think is one area where we catch a lot of our clients maybe not necessarily thinking about it, because so many marketers are just so close to their own brand. Of course I'm the best toothpaste, or of course I'm the best, you know, XYZ supplier. And it's the type of thing where, you know, stepping back into the shoes of your buyer, no matter what type of buyer they are, and understanding what is at their fingertips that would impact their experiences with you and their journey with you. That information piece is absolutely key, because you're a search away from anything these days. And it's not just in the consumer arena. It absolutely applies to the B2B side of things very strongly.
Well, that speaks to the second point in the article, or the second point is that customers have more options than ever before. You know, as little as 5, 10 years ago, it might have been prohibitive for you to switch vendors or not go to your brick and mortar. But in today's next day, overnight shipping, free shipping world, there's no reason not to cast a wider net.
Agreed.
Okay. So speaking of information, Craig, you know, one of the things that kind of moved around in my head was, given word of mouth is so powerful in marketing, you know, it always has been, but now I feel like with the information that exists, more, you know, just regular folks are becoming brand experts, if you will.
Quote unquote.
Correct. And in some cases, that may not be who you want to be the voice of your brand. So I think it's safe to say that in terms of there being information out there, it's important that, you know, the brands or the companies themselves are the folks that are putting it out there, to not only make sure that it's that's real and that's factual, but that it's able to compete with maybe their competitors' information that exists out there as well, so it's up to snuff. Because I imagine the more even things are, the less of a obvious choice it would be for a user or for a customer.
And I think that's bare minimum, right? You need to be doing those things, but the reality is that everybody can be chiming in. So anybody out there can be affecting that journey and that experience with the brand, whether it's truthful or not, or skewed or not. So I think that's where, if you're policing it and you've got to put your flag out there and claim your ground, that's at least step one.
And I imagine the easiest execution of that would just be social, in terms of you know, you see a customer ask a question, jumping in before, you know, another customer has the chance to, as that brand. Or if a customer is sharing incorrect information, I think that too is an opportunity for them to jump in and say, you know, hey, while we appreciate you engaging with us, that's not quite how it is.
Well, we've seen Yelp as a real world example fight that almost since it first launched, is that you have people that are posting false reviews, maybe competitors, maybe disgruntled former employees that are damaging, you know, these restaurants' businesses. And that's, yeah, like you said, Eric, that speaks to the power of social. So let's jump to the second point in the list. The customers are also experiencing more options than ever before. That it used to be as little as 5 or 10 years ago, it might be prohibitive, either cost prohibitive or convenience prohibitive, to change vendors, not go to the local brick and mortar store, etc. But in today's next day free shipping global economy, it's easy to reach out and find another vendor who's doing the same thing that your current vendor is doing, maybe even better than your first vendor was doing. And then finally, competition, right? Businesses have always had to deal with competition, but in today's economy, competition has become even stronger. The cycle of innovating and becoming the leader in it because of your innovation is shortening, because other people are using technology to shorten that cycle. And there's countless customers that are just waiting to jump in and lure your customers away, or to use their newfound competitive advantage to offer something that you're not offering. So all this information seems to be pointing to the idea that customers just aren't loyal as they used to be. So Jason, do you think that's true? That is brand loyalty in general just declining?
You see different research around that topic, and you know, so much of it depends on the industry and again, the product or service that's being offered. But one thing I will say around that is that there are ways to keep relationships sticky. You're certainly a whole lot more successful if you're able to do that with a good end-to-end experience versus just trapping a consumer into a relationship because you've one-upped them somehow to get out of it. Because bad word of mouth will travel in those types of cases too. So that's where, again, this consumer experience mapping really comes in to say, how do we not just attract them and make sure that the entire experience is great end to end, but that we get them to repeat? You know, it just becomes more of a circle, this kind of infinite loop, so that they keep coming back because the experience is so good, so superior, on top of whatever we're offering being, you know, priced right, positioned right, packaged up right for them.
So as far as the three key factors go, how would you guys rank those in terms of hierarchy? Because to me, at least, it seems like information would be your first plan of attack, because you can't really control your competition that exists in the world. And the same thing with the options that exist you can't really control that. You know, you can't stop your competitor from making a similar product to you unless it's so similar you can sue them for patent infringement. But you know, we're not lawyers, so we won't get into that. But in my mind, I think that's why I would focus on information first, because I can control my message, I can control how it gets you know, spread out, and I can control what specifically I'm targeting. But what are you guys' thoughts on that in terms of hierarchy of approach or attack?
I would agree that today's climate is forcing businesses to be more transparent with their dealings than ever before. If you look in an industry like the automotive industry, right, keeping the actual price of the vehicle used to be the keystone of their business, that nobody really knew what that was, and so they could go up and down and you know, they could control it that way. But those days are over. That I can spend 5 minutes on the internet and find exactly what a car should be priced and five dealers near me that I can go to. So this has required, you know, the automotive industry in this example to be more transparent about their features and their benefits and other reasons why you should buy their brand over another brand. But yeah, you're right, Eric. I mean, you can't control what your competition is going to do. You can't control what options, you know, to a large extent are out there. So you should, you know, keep a handle on information as best you can.
And I'd take that a couple steps further, Eric, because the information piece needs to be delivered at the right time, at the right place, and to the right client, obviously. And that's where understanding, as customers move throughout their experience with you, what are they looking for? What do they need? What do they desire to make a decision? And I think our clients, you know, the marketers, the brands themselves, are getting a lot smarter than they used to be, where it's less shotgunned approach. And that's a big opportunity to say, hey, if we map the whole customer experience out, we understand where and how to create material to actually aid in the sale and the care and in the follow-up of this relationship.
So the idea, I think, that we've all been kind of circling around is that companies, to really be viable in today's environment, need to move away from a model where they're just focused on products and services or price and move over to a model where they put the customer first, really understanding the client's needs and desires and focusing on servicing those than just trying to hawk product.
I agree. Absolutely. I think that's where, again, understanding how you can be the best in breed, not just of what you offer, but the experience that a customer has to go through to engage with you and to purchase what you're offering, is just going to keep that relationship around a lot longer, which, again, makes it that much more impactful from an ROI standpoint. Every marketer listening to this podcast understands that the best ROI is going to come from an existing customer. You don't have to go back out and acquire them. It's very, very expensive to do that. So how do you keep them happy, create an advocate, as Eric was saying, and then get them to rinse and repeat with the sales cycle?
Yeah, so that kind of brings us towards the end of the topic and the end of the article in our trends book, is some actionable steps that a company can take. You know, shifting your company from a product-focused one to a customer-focused one obviously can be a huge undertaking, you know, internal cultural alone. But if you're not already there, or if you haven't already taken those steps, there's five steps that we outline that start a good that, you know, you can use it to start a conversation with the powers that be to get there. So first, appoint an advocate. You know, something like a CX focused approach to your brand needs someone who's in the driver's seat who can marshal the forces and really, you know, try to affect change. So get an advocate, map the customer journeys, make sure, you know, CX is all about making those customer journeys as enjoyable as possible. So make sure that you really understand those journeys. Talk to your customers, throw out surveys, talk to your internal customers, make sure you fully understand those. Define goals. You know, anything that's worth doing is worth having a goal towards it. So define those goals so you're not just flailing around trying to figure out where you're trying to go. Analytics, you know, you should always measure your progress. So analytics will help you understand where you're going, how you're doing. And then finally, this is, you know, we're going to beat this drum of something that ThunderTech says all the time, execute and iterate. You know, few plans are perfect when they first launch. So look at your analytics, rinse and repeat, as Jason says, and make sure that you're pivoting and iterating, you know, to get to the end goals. So to wrap this thing up, since we're talking about customer journeys, do you guys have any stories of very successful or fulfilling customer journeys that you went on with the brand?
I'll jump in on this one. I had a recent experience, and I've worked with this organization for now a few years, and I can tell that they are looking at the whole experience. And this goes back to, Craig, to your car buying discussion, where, again, that industry has so drastically changed. And if anyone can change and be a proof point that this is possible, I think it's car dealers. That is an old line industry, but this dealer I've used for my lease the last couple of times, they get that I don't like the process at all. I don't like it. I want to get in and out. Car is a car to me. I need it to get to point A to point B. So they have taken all the BS, in my opinion, out of the equation. And they're very upfront. The communications are straightforward. They know what I'd like. They know what I've had. They know when things are up, and they make it very easy. So this whole latest process with signature of, you know, giving away your firstborn son and blood tests and everything else that a dealership needs to buy a car or lease a car in this case, I was in and out in less than an hour. It was so hassle-free. And I checked them online. I knew that I didn't want to go to a ton of other places to price shop, but I still am smart enough to know that I need to make a couple calls and do some price checking online, make sure they're not taking me for a ride. And boy, they were within that boundary of what everyone else was selling. So they knew that they were going to keep me by being competitive, taking care of me on my terms, and getting me in and out. And they're going to keep my business as long as they keep doing that, because they understand me as a customer, what I want, and also, frankly, of the experience, what I don't want.
And, you know, the proof is in the pudding, because I've seen Jason driving around his convertible Ford Festiva, and no one looks happier.
It is a sight to be seen.
Thank you, Eric.
All right, so that wraps up a CX topic. Again, this is part of a larger series of topics to support our trends book. That publication, as you hear this, will be out and available. You can find it at thundertech.com/trends. You can request the download, digital download, the ebook, or request the actual print version, which is, you know, something you can actually hold in your hand and read in the bathroom. So, as always, if you like what you hear today, please go to iTunes and subscribe, or Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are sold. And while you're at iTunes, if you're minded, lead a review. It would help us out. So until next time, thanks for listening.